Welcome to the Balbury, working, parenting, playing, voting, advocating, and creating as women.
This is your host, Suki Wessling. There's been a lot of noise in our media recently about transgender people, especially transgender young people. But what's been largely missing from a lot of mainstream media is reflection by transgender elders. The Babblery explores the lives of women, and in that capacity, we interviewed Sandy Stone, who happens to be the chief engineer at the Babblery's home radio station, KSQD, in Santa Cruz, California. Sandy's a woman of wide interests and tastes.
I'm emerita from the University of Texas at Austin. I'm a performance artist, an author, a computer programmer, and just a general idiot about town who likes to raise hell and get into trouble. And that's probably the best summary I can give. And who likes good chocolate and is always hunting for it.
Sandy lists her love of chocolate and cats along with her impressive credentials, such as the fact that she's credited as the founder of Transgender Studies. And that, I should add, is because she is a transgender person, and not only that, but an elder, having transitioned in the mid-1970s. And not only that, Sandy may be the first documented case of a trans woman being TERFed, a practice where trans-unfriendly radical feminists try to exclude trans women from women-only gatherings.
The separatists talked a lot about how transsexuals are really men and how men divide the women's community and divide women and so on and so forth. And then they took the vote, and it was 48-2, the two being the two radical separatists. So they demonstrated, in fact, I did divide the women's community. So with that, it being Santa Cruz, everybody just went on. I never saw the separatists again. And from then on, I was officially a member of the community, whatever that may have meant.
What being a member of our community means is that Sandy is always there for people. She's there when a prominent local resident spreads misinformation about trans people. She's there to march in the 4th of July parade with K-Squid volunteers. She's a reassuring voice for young people who are drowning in a sea of negativity from our media. And she's an open book about her expansive view of the human race. When I asked her what it means for her to be a woman, she didn't focus on pronouns or clothing.
There is no single universal answer to what is a woman. That would be adopting a monistic view, which is against everything I stand for. Identities of all kinds are situated, they're contextual, they're local, and they may bump up against definitions somewhere else. I can't guarantee that. I have no way to guarantee that. That's true with everything. And the more we try to put a one-size-fits-all definition on any of our categories, the more we're simply hurting them, and by reflexiveness, hurting ourselves. I have found a place in relationship to my social world, the people I love, and the world in which I work and manifest whatever I manifest. And that's what you see. And that happens to fall under a general label of woman.
Sandy's expansive view of gender means that she has a sympathetic ear for young people who are not willing to settle for the gender binary presented by the older generation.
The situation vis-a-vis gender in the United States and other countries has changed enormously in the past few decades. This is partly, I think, due to social media, due to the availability of streaming. In general, the internet and the availability of smartphones have made a kind of social communication possible that was not possible before. And so many of the things that have kept knowledge of gender and sexuality from young people have collapsed, so that now a lot more of that, they have access to a lot more of that knowledge, and they've seized on it
and they've compared it to what their lives are and who they think they are. And they've seen ways in which they can be more of who they are by attending to those things.
That phrase of Sandy Stone's, they can be more of who they are, is an important one. The fight in American culture right now, when you look through that lens, is not about what gender actually is. It's about how much leeway society should allow individuals to define themselves. Conservatives generally feel uncomfortable with too much self-expression, and to try to suppress it, they have moved from traditional methods, parenting, faith institutions, and other societal structures, to using our legal system. In Sandy's view, this is bound to fail. Similarly, Sandy believes that the method of waiting for social change to take root rather than pushing change is also destined for failure.
In the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, I think there are groups of people who thought, well, if we just wait for the older generation to die out, then it'll be fine. We'll bring our values into the foreground and it will all work out. And it's never turned out that way. The structure is bigger than they are. It's bigger than we are. And the structure wants to be conservative. And that's really hard to deal with. And just waiting, we know now, I think, that because we have a little more of collective history, we know that waiting for the older generation to die off is not going to work. It's not the answer. It doesn't help anything. A new generation exactly the same will appear, which means we have to fight more directly. And what does that mean?
This direct fight, as Sandy sees it, is not just political, though that fight is important. This new fight is being waged on the personal level, but with the force of numbers. Unlike Sandy, who stood as a lone transgender woman waiting for the results of a ballot that would choose her fate in a community, young people are redefining gender in defiance of all previous societal mores.
Now, you don't even have to be trans. You only have to be a kid to be gender fluid. It goes with the territory. And for a kid, I don't think it has that same weight of the label of gender fluidity that adults put on it with all of the terrible meanings that older people tend to ascribe to such things. In general, the older generations are much, much more frightened of change. Thinking about change in something like gender for many older people, certainly not all, is frightening because it shakes some basic assumptions about the way the world works. That's unsettling. Older people were resistant. Younger kids don't have that. And if older people don't put it on them, they never get it. And eventually they find a place that feels comfortable for them and they'll embody it.
Sandy says that the very idea of being transgender, the way her generation of trans activists see it, is now called into question. For the young, she says, gender is a playground. It's fluid and fun. So the gravity that older adults apply to gender-related decisions and the concerns about regret are simply misplaced when they're applied to young people. She refers to gatekeeping, which means keeping out those who don't, quote, deserve, unquote, inclusion in an identity or community.
Then what do we do? Do we say, all right, you can't transition because your reasons aren't right? That's a very slippery path. We've been down that path, and it does not work. And I hope that people examining that situation will learn from very recent experience about trying to gatekeep with regard to who is an actual transgender, who is entitled to support, and who is not. You're never going to be able to make that cut.
Sandy herself is testament to how identity is fundamental to the human experience and how it is, as she explained, situational, contextual, and local. Humans strive to belong, whether we are drawn to conservative, traditional identities, to groups formed because of shared interests, or to communities based on a more expansive view of identity. As a young person, Sandy didn't belong, and when the TERFs tried to exclude her, they told her she didn't belong. But when she looked into the mirror, she knew they were wrong. She knew she had found who she really was through her social and medical gender transition.
Up until that point, looking into the mirror, I did not see me. This is me. But as me gradually began to surface, like coming to the surface of a dark pool of water. As my face became clearer in the mirror, I began to say, yes, this is me. Whoever this is me.
So when it comes to the question of gender transition for young people, Sandy's view tells us that the current reaction to the rising tide of gender fluidity asks the wrong question. Instead of how can these young people truly know they are transgender, or won't they regret their decision to transition? Perhaps the question is, what does gender even mean to a generation that has moved past a simple binary view? We can all learn from Sandy Stone's expansive embrace of the rainbow that is the human race. She is a woman who has lived as a man. She is an engineer who became a theorist. She is a lesbian who married a man. She is a woman who is a human being.
Took a long time. It took a lot of work. Took a lot of effort. It was filled with pain and joy and various kinds of ecstasy and surprise. I have an identity that works for me, and that's all I can ask of the world. I found an identity that works for me, and apparently it's comfortable enough for other people that it works for them too. I think that's fine. I wish it for everyone.
Of me.
Find the full interview with Sandy Stone, founder of Transgender Studies, at Babbelry, BABBLERY.com. Find information about the forthcoming film about Sandy's life, Girl Island, at GirlIslandFilm.com. The Babbelry is produced in conjunction with KSQD in Santa Cruz, California.
Break the bonds, throw the night, take back those things that be.
The song Be My Girl by Karen Ellis is from the Free Music Archive.